Ukraine. Let's just pray. Dear Lord, open our hearts and minds as we hear your word this morning. Clear away the clutter and the things that can hold us back from hearing what you've got to say. And give us an open mind and a clear heart so that we can listen to the still and quiet things you're going to say to us this morning. Amen.
Thank you. Question for you. Who was the first apostle to bring and preach the gospel to the Gentiles? If you said as your answer the Apostle Paul, I'm afraid you are wrong. The right answer is in verses 23 and 24 of our passage today, when Barnabas in Antioch came and saw what the grace of God had done. He was glad and encouraged them to all remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. In the sentence, one sentence, my theme today is the nobody who transformed the church by his encouragement, the Apostle Barnabas. Actually, his real name was Joseph, but he was such an encourager of the early Christians, they called him Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement. People saw Joseph coming and they said, here comes the encourager. Better than that, here comes old misery guts. I wonder what the church in Antioch would have called you or me had we arrived in Antioch, where they loved giving people sarcastic nicknames. When the bearded Roman Emperor Julius came to Antioch, they said, here comes the goat. It was in Antioch where believers were given the derogatory name Christians, Christ folk, for the first time. It was a contemptuous nickname like Methodists were given in the 18th century, as people sneered at Wesley and his friends' methodical way of organizing their groups for Bible study and prayer. But the Christians at Antioch took the nickname of Christians and made it not only a name of contempt, but one of respect, admiration, and even wonder over the whole known world. By the way, Antioch in Syria was the third largest city in the Roman Empire, on a great crossroads of culture and trade. For TV pointless quiz fans, the largest city in the empire is easy. That is Rome. But I'd never have guessed that Alexandria in Egypt was second place and Antioch in Syria was third. It was only when we went on a walking holiday in northern Cyprus in February 2024 that visited Salamis that I discovered that was where Barnabas was born. He travelled to the Holy Land where he met Paul the Apostle and was converted to Christianity. There were three stages or steps on the ladder to the reach the Gentiles. Firstly, Philip preached to the Samaritans, who after all were half Jewish, weren't they? Acts chapter 8. Secondly, Peter accepted the Roman centurion Cornelius, but it was Cornelius who took the initiative and made the first move to find Peter and the Christian church in Acts 10. But it was thirdly in Antioch, when without waiting for the invitations, Christians first preached the gospel to the Gentiles. Now Christianity really was launched like a space rocket on its mission to the ends of all the world. What is the most amazing part of this story? The church has taken its biggest ever step, and we don't even know the names of anyone who was involved in it. All we know is that they came from Cyprus and Cyrene. They go down in history as the nameless pioneers of Christ. It's always been one of the tragedies of the church that people have always wanted to be noticed and named when they achieve something. What the church has always needed is people who never care who gets the credit as long as the work is done. They may not have their names written in the history books, but their names are written in God's book of life. And where did this historic event happen? In Antioch, Syria, a city renowned for its luxurious immorality, its chariot racing, its thirst for pleasure day and night in the temple of Daphne, with its sacred prostitutes. Remember, no city and no situation is hopeless for God. Barnabas was hugely helpful to that church, not only by his teaching, but by giving encouragement. Wherever Barnabas the encourager went, it is said non-Christians flocked to become believers. Barnabas was such an encourager that we can actually thank him for most of the New Testament. Why? Because two men in particular were encouraged by Barnabas. One was the Apostle Paul, and the other was the Gospel writer John Mark. Barnabas spoke up for Paul when the early Christians were suspicious of him because of his past life. Barnabas remained loyal to Mark after others may have written him off in Acts 15. Barnabas himself never wrote a word of scripture, but those two men he encouraged certainly did. Paul wrote 13 New Testament letters, and John Mark wrote one of the Gospels. When the leaders of the church at Jerusalem got word of what was going on at Antioch, they naturally sent someone to investigate. They could have sent someone who was bound by the laws, rules, and regulations, but they sent the man with the biggest heart in the church, Barnabas. When Barnabas reached Antioch, he saw God's grace at work as many Gentiles were joining the church. He realized that someone must be put in charge of that work. This person must be brave, for Antioch was no easy place to be a Christian. He must have a double background, a Jew brought up in the Jewish tradition, but one who could meet and match the Gentiles on equal terms. He must be skillful at arguing to meet the dual attack of the Jews and the Gentiles. He must be a teacher. He must be a preacher with exceptional gifts. Barnabas knew just the very person, the Apostle Saul, who became Paul. For 9 years or so, we've heard nothing of Saul. The last glimpse we had of him was him escaping by way of Caesarea to Tarsus in Acts 9. No doubt he had spent the time in between witnessing in his hometown of Tarsus in Cilicia, modern-day Turkey. But now Barnabas gave him a new challenge. Come and help us in Antioch, a city about 180 miles away from Tarsus, requiring a journey of 5 or 6 days by sea and by land. Again and again, the church needs not only people who can really take the work of the church forward, like Saul, but also the people like Barnabas, who in prayer and humility can spot the very person that God is calling to do this work. Interestingly, when Barnabas returned from the Holy Land to Cyprus, he was made Archbishop of Salamis in northern Cyprus, see Acts 4 and 13. There he became a preacher, and he convinced the Roman ruler of Cyprus at the time, Sergius Paulus, to adopt Christianity, making Cyprus the first country in the world to have a Christian ruler. Barnabas was martyred in 61 AD, and legend says it that his body was hidden in a secret tomb in Salamis by his friend John Mark and his followers. You may be thinking this morning, I'm not very gifted. I don't have a public ministry. You may not feel as young and active as you used to be. You feel like I'm never going to be famous. You may think you're a nobody like Barnabas. But a few words of encouragement from you, a kind gesture, a token of support, All these things can impact on someone else's life and change the course of history. Let me tell you about a nobody who did that and helped millions of people and changed the history of the church. Alfred McMakin was a 24-year-old American farmer who came to faith. He was so full of enthusiasm, he filled a truck with people and took them to Christian meetings. He was especially keen to get the good-looking farmer's son to come along. But this young man was more interested in chasing the girls than considering Christianity. Eventually, Albert asked the farmer's son to drive the truck to the meeting. He agreed and then decided to go in and listen to the meeting. He was spellbound and went back again and again until one night he became a Christian. The year was 1934. The driver's name? Billy Graham, who led thousands and thousands of people to faith. We can't all be like Billy Graham, but we can be like Albert and encourage people to come and listen to the Christian gospel. And it's never too late to start encouraging people. Look back over your life. Can you think of somebody who encouraged you? Might be a Sunday school teacher, might be a past minister, or somebody in the congregation. If they're still around, why not contact them and just say thanks? You might be amazed by their reaction. In August 1972, I left home in North Staffordshire to go to Plymouth to join the Daily Mirror training scheme and become a journalist. I knew nobody, but on that first Sunday, I went to the big Anglican church, St Andrews, near Plymouth Hoe, where a new vicar had just arrived. The Reverend John Watson and his wife June and their three children took me and two other male students under their wing. They regularly invited us to lunch. Then we went out for walks on Dartmoor and they encouraged us to get involved in the church, where I taught two of their older children pathfinders on Sunday morning and helped at the youth group in the evening. Many years later, I wrote to the Watson family, thank them for encouraging me and looking after me at an important stage of my Christian journey when I left home for the first time. In August 2017, I went again to Plymouth, this time to give the eulogy at John Watson's funeral, where I told my story again and thanked John and his family for their encouragement to me at such an important time in my Christian journey. I think one of the most important times in our Christian life is when we leave home for the first time. Then we don't have our own family to encourage us to go to church. We're on our own. We have to make our own decisions. May we remember in prayer our own young people in church when they leave home for the first time to go to a new place. May we also welcome new people coming to Worcester to study, to work, and particularly from those who've come from overseas, who must find it very strange coming to Britain for the first time. May we take all of them under our wing. And as we look around the church, do we see people faithfully serving the Lord week in and week out? Let's encourage them. Look at our own family, our children, our grandchildren. When was the last time we encouraged them? Those closest to us can most easily be those who've taken most for granted. William Barclay, the biblical teacher, wrote, "It is easy to laugh at men's ideals. It is easy to discourage others. The world is full of discouragers. We have a Christian duty to encourage one another. Many a time, a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer has kept a man or woman on his or her feet. Blessed is the man who speaks such a word." In the New Testament, the need to encourage is mentioned many, many times. Paul wrote to Titus, "Encourage and rebuke with all authority." He wrote to Timothy, "Preach the word in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." And to the Thessalonians, he wrote, "Encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact you're doing." American author William Arthur Ward said, "Flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. Encourage me, and I will never forget you. When I get to heaven, I will look down all of those who are closest to God's throne. Among the international Bible teachers, the well-known Christian preachers, and the martyrs of the persecuted church, down the century will be thousands of nobodies like the Apostle Barnabas who helped transform the church by their encouragement. Be encouraged by that this morning. Amen."